Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is Father's Day, and I wish to extend my blessings and my wishes to every father out there. And what a joy it was to have JD's father Ron here and his brother Mark, and to get an opportunity to celebrate Father's Day. Excuse me. And James, getting to celebrate Father's Day as he and Susie celebrate the graduation of their son from college and get to celebrate it with his three sons. And of course, this being Father's Day, I had a Father's Day message all planned out. And I was going to title it Proverbs 22:6, but Margaret, this happens when James isn't here and things aren't organized. Margaret used that already, so I'm going to title this. Let me see. I had thought about this. And no greater joy has a man than to know that his children are walking in the truth. And that would be God's word. Would you join me in prayer right now before we even begin? Our loving Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for fathers, Lord, and above all, for you, our Heavenly Father, and what you have done for us through the sacrifice of your Son, Lord. We ask that you would be with us at this time, that you would be glorified alone, Lord, that you would speak through me by the power of your Spirit, that you would remove distractions, and that your word would go forth to your people. We ask a blessing on this time for each and every one here. And Lord, I ask for fathers who are grieving, that you give them comfort, that you give them peace. Father's Day is not always a joy to fathers. And we ask that you would just make this a time, though, of rejoicing, Lord, for each and every one. And we turn this over to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to let you know, my heart's a little heavy at the moment right now too, but I am rejoicing. And I'll get to that in a little bit. It's been a very stressful week for me. Stressful, but always blessful. And I like to say that. Working, I work about 50 hours a week in a sawmill. Things have been very hectic there. I knew that I was going to be bringing the message to you this morning, but last Sunday, at the end of the day, my daughter was at soccer practice. She's playing in the President's Cup, this tournament, regional tournament. And she was at practice with my wife, and things were going fairly well. We got out of the service and I'd spent time with James and went home, and I'm trying to get things ready and lots of yard work to do because that's been being neglected because we've been at soccer here and there and doing different things and a lot of work to get done. You know, we're fathers, we're always busy, aren't we? We're always working. And so between that and my job, things seem to be getting let go. Well, all of a sudden my phone rings as soon as I get home, and it's James, and he says, Dennis Spray, one of our loving members, went home to be with the Lord this morning. That was last Sunday. And he says, will you do the funeral? Wow. Yes, Lord, I will. But, you know, am I capable? No, I'm not. This is all God's doing. So, yes, I will. And so I plan on that. And we do a service at the Bridge, an assisted living center, every Sunday at 2 p.m. So I've been preparing for that. So I got that all done, and we're getting ready to go do that service. And James calls me, and then this happens. And so my wife, before I go to the Bridge to do the service, my wife and my daughter get home. My daughter says, Dad, the tournament starts Thursday. And Thursday, okay. My anniversary was Friday. And so my daughter's playing soccer Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have a funeral to do. All of a sudden, find out the funeral is to be done on Friday. That's my anniversary. My daughter's got a soccer game. And I'm going, oh, man, Lord, you're just putting so much on me. And, Pat decided she wanted the funeral done Saturday. So my wife and I spent our anniversary at a soccer game, as we usually do every year. So, but anyway, to let you know things, God just continues to work in each and every one of us. And something happened. I had this message, as I said, all prepared. I did not want to confuse myself by preparing it ahead of time. So the funeral or the memorial service for Dennis we had yesterday at 1:30 in the afternoon, and it went very well. God just blessed. And unfortunately, I was unable to make it over to Pat's afterwards. She had invited everyone that was here and all to come over to her house. They had food and time of rejoicing and celebration and sharing the memory of Dennis. And I wanted to get home and prepare for this. And so I did so. And God gave me a message. And I had prepared and I studied diligently. And by the time it got time for me to take a shower and go to bed, I felt that the Lord had prepared me enough that I was ready. And then something happened. And I heard my daughter in the back room. And her heart was breaking. And being a father, this, of course, grieved me. And I'm not going to share exactly what went on. But what happened was her heart was being broken, but it was also because of a decision that she had to make. And because of her faith in God and understanding His Word, she was making the right decision. But it was also breaking her heart. And so at the same time, because she's my daughter, my heart was breaking, but I was also rejoicing, knowing that she was doing what was right. So I showered, went to bed, lay there, and God gave me a different message. So I was up early this morning it wasn't early for me, it was 4:00. So I was up at 4 and studying diligently, and God gave me another message, kind of along the same lines, but changed it. So that's where we're at today. I just thought I'd share that with you as how these things develop sometimes, that we allow God to guide and direct us. And sometimes what we have planned, He changes. So that's where we're at. Again, children are a gift from God. And this is about being a father. And I'd like to share with you a little bit from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. And there's a reason for this. I want to get to this in a little bit. I was reading a little bit, and sociologists have done many studies, you know how we like to study things, and scientists and sociologists, and they've studied this whole great group of fifth graders one time. And in their studies, they found out the importance of a father in the home, the importance of a father to a child, and found out that as they asked did these studies with these fifth graders, the studies revealed that the fathers were one of the most important keys on how a child would develop their sexual identity, how they would relate to the opposite sex, how they would relate to their own sex, how they would establish their own sexual identity. That without a father in their life, in their home, that they had trouble identifying with their own sexuality, their own sexual identity. Studies also revealed that without a father in the home, children had trouble relating socially, that they could not establish their own social behavior. They could not learn how to relate to others around them, their own peers, and to other people. They were not well adjusted, did not have good communication, and they were more likely to get involved in drugs. This shouldn't surprise us. God was the one that established a man and a relationship between a man and a woman, husband and wife, father in the home, making the father the head of the household. Now, this being said, father being the head of the household, he is the spiritual head under Christ in the household. Jesus is first. But being a spiritual head of the household means that you are the servant. Yeah, the servant. And I was thinking about these people working yesterday that I kind of bailed out on because I wanted to prepare for the memorial service and all that. And they were serving. But as a father, you realize that we serve our children? That when it says to train up a child in the way they should go, it means to instruct them. To give them courteous instruction. It says, in the way they should go, and when they become old, they shall not depart from it. It also includes discipline and chastising as needed. If we go into God's Word and we look back in Ephesians 6, excuse me, I'm going to go there real quick just because. Yes, Ephesians 6, 4. It says, "And fathers, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Do not provoke them to wrath. It means that you are not to cause your children to learn to become angry. That you are not to provoke them to wrath. And so, how do we do that? How do we provoke our children to wrath? We are teaching them. That's the instruction that they get. And then, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord to understand that through God's chastisement, through His loving kindness, through His grace, in His ways, bring them up. So I'm going to go back, boom, back to Deuteronomy now in chapter 6. And I want to read verses 1 through 9. And look at this a little bit. It says, "Now this is a commandment." This is Moses speaking to the people in the desert after God has given him the Ten Commandments. And he's got all of Israel, the children of Jacob, in the desert as God had led them out of Egypt. And now they're in the desert and Moses has got the Ten Commandments and he's delivering them to them. And he says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life. And that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates." Now, God had given the commandments to the children of Jacob, to the children of Israel. And He was going to lead them into the promised land. And He did, all those that were 20 years and younger. Okay, but He gave them these commandments, and He commanded them to teach them to your children, and to write them on your doorposts, to bind them. You know how you would, you know, the old saying, you tie a cord to your finger so you'll remember something? to bind them as a cord on your hand was to remind them that these are God's commandments. These are what we are to live by. And then as frontlets between the eyes. Now, they went a little far in that as far as their priests did, but to write them on your doorposts and teach your children. This was the main reason for this. The children of Israel forgot to teach their own children. Now, they obeyed God, and they obeyed His commandments for some time. But then when they entered the land, remember, they took wives from the others that they weren't supposed to. They turned to idol worship. They did other things that were evil in the sight of God. And God delivers them into the hands of their enemies. And it was to be handed down generation to generation to generation. And that is why God told them to write them on their doorposts and on their gates, to bind them as a sign on their hand and as frontlets between their eyes. But to teach their children all these commandments: when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Do we do that? Have we done that? The people of Israel did not. And if we do, how do we do that? Our children are the most important gift we have from God. And to be honest with you, this is the way I look at it. Is my daughter, my children are not mine. They are His. Just as you all are His. All of you who put your faith and trust in Jesus. My daughter's entrusted into my care by God to bring up in the way that she should go. That is His way. Do I do a good job of that? No, I don't. Do I try? Yeah. But that is the way I believe. That is how I am to do it, because that is what He expects of me. If she is His, then I am responsible for bringing her up in the way that He would have me bring her up, not in the way Chuck wants to do it. So, yes, I fail miserably, but I do try. And it brings my heart joy, just like right now. She is brokenhearted enough that she couldn't even come to church today. She didn't want to be sitting here sobbing, but yet still rejoicing because she's doing what is right. So, as I go through this, I want to think about something, and I'm going to hit on this real quick. I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to. The children of Israel, because they did not write them on their doorposts, they didn't write them on their gates, they didn't teach their children diligently as they were sitting, as they were standing, throughout the day, as they were lying down, we teach our children. They did not do so. So again, they were delivered into the hands of their enemies. Does it sound familiar to us today as a nation? I'm not going to get into politics, but we can blame, and I was discussing this with a gentleman at work. We can blame our government for the shape we're in, right? That's what people want to do. They want to blame our current leadership. And yeah, we can. However, why is our current leadership the way it is? It begins in the home. It begins in teaching our own children. When we think of our forefathers establishing this nation, 53 of the 55 original members that signed the Declaration of Independence were active members of their church. Active. They weren't just Christians. They served the Lord in the capacity He chose. And so they established all that for us to be a Christian nation. Our children had not been taught this. As others come in, they are not being taught. So I'm exhorting you, and I know that you people here, as I look out and see people that have children here, I know you teach your children these things at home, to teach them God's commandments. But it's more than teaching them. I can talk to my daughter till I'm blue in the face, and I can push God's word down her throat, and if I don't live it, it's not going to happen, right? It's got to be in me first. It's got to be in me. I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else here, going somewhere else, but I'm not going to do that because I just keep throwing things out. If our children look to us and we teach them to walk in the ways of God, then how will they fulfill them and teach their children and teach their children and teach their children unless they see that living in us? So I'm going to talk a little bit about what a father needs to do. He needs to understand the strong influence of what his child sees in him. We're going to look at sight a little bit. Children should see and feel his intent in some of the things that they're interested in. Find out that he's interested in the same things they're interested in. They should know this. If children are interested in livestock, 4-H, be interested in that. If they have an interest in certain things in school, be interested in that. If they have an interest in sports, be interested in that. We need to take time to be interested in the things that our children are interested in also. But they do take interest in what we kind of are interested in also. So that kind of starts them off on that path. As they're young, we try them out in different things and then find out what they truly like and what they want to be involved in. And then we need to show our interest in that. A child should see their father working. Okay? You know, the old saying, when you think about kids being asked what a father does, well, he goes to work, you know, and he spends all day at work, and then he comes home and he, you know, kicks off his shoes and sits down and watches TV and eats dinner. You know, that's kind of commonplace, and that's what we hear so much. But a child should see their father working, actually physically working, to understand the value of the dollar, to understand the need to work, to function in this culture as a working society. And the other part is, as we look at that, to see your father in the workplace, I think sometimes is many of us can be very different in the workplace than we are at home or in church. And so if a child sees a father in the workplace, do you react the same in the workplace to circumstances as you do elsewhere? Are you still living the same lifestyle and work? Some of us obviously work in a different environment. But do we respond the same way in a godly manner? And they should see your father's emotions. This one I find very critical. If you express anger in a manner, express your anger, outbursts of anger, a child's going to think that's okay to do that, have that kind of anger. We get angry. I mean, we are supposed to have righteous anger, and we do have anger. We have many emotions, but a child needs to see that anger controlled, that the anger is, it's okay, but it is not let go. Okay, it is controlled anger. They need to see your love for your spouse. They need to see your love for them. They need to see compassion. They need to see all your emotions. They need to see fear. Because they need to know that it's okay to have these emotions that God has given them, but to see them in a Christian home, how God would have these emotions expressed. My dad never, you know, he never told me he loved me. You know, he was kind of old school. He was rough, very hard, very hard man, and very explosive, I would have to use the term. His anger would erupt like a shot out of a cannon, and it was always lashed out at whoever or whatever was closest to him. So when a child sees that, there's a couple ways they can go. They even think that's okay. That's the way we do things. Or, you know, my dad's that way. I really don't want to be like that. So they can go both ways. But what a child really needs, I never saw my dad express love or compassion or any of that. So why am I like I am? I don't know. You know, God, it's God's work. But a child needs to see that in the father. They need to see that compassion, that love for your spouse, that love for your child, that love for others, so that they will have that same compassion, that same love, but it's that love that comes from Christ. They should hear you pray. Prayer is one of the biggest things that I think a father could do for his family, for his children, for those around him. And when they hear you pray, do you, not just hear you, but join in. You need to have times, spend time prayer with your family. But even if you pray by yourself, or you're doing the praying and they're praying along with you, pray for specifics. They need to know that you will pray for people, certain people, specific people. Pray for your pastor. Pray for individuals, the needy, the hurting, the sick, those in trouble. Pray for your nation. Pray for your leadership. They need to know that by the power of prayer, God will work. And so they need to see that in their father. That will establish a lot of their prayer life. That will continue to go on for generations if you teach them that. They should see and hear you reading the Bible. Another reason is that if my children see me reading God's Word, and if we have time of devotion together, prayer time and devotion time, as we read aloud through God's Word, it's going to develop that in my children also, in your children, that we spend time together in God's Word in teaching them. If we don't, it's going to get lost. There's many passages, things that can help as we read God's Word and we read it together and we do Bible devotions together, and we know that our children will read God's Word. During different times in their lives, when we want to be there for them, or they're going through something that we cannot help them with because we are physical people, we turn to God's Word. We turn to prayer. There's passages in God's Word, for instance, that are always a comfort and always a help. And just this morning, Romans 8:28. Is a great passage that I thought of for my daughter, and I told her that, remember, when things are like this, that all things work together toward good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. She's aware of that passage. She knows it. So she can grasp that and hold that truth even when she is grieving. It is to help her through her times of need. So, extremely critical also that we teach our children God's Word. They can teach their children. They should hear words of encouragement. Now, this is one area that I tend to fail. I don't do it enough. But they should hear words of encouragement, praise, and commendation from their father. To them and to others. And they should seldom hear words of ridicule and condemnation. And I think a lot of times we get upset with things and we might say something we shouldn't say. And maybe talk a little bit bad about somebody, or just by saying one little word or one little phrase, putting somebody down, and they would see that that's okay to do. And that does a lot of harm. But lastly, before we close in this, I wanted to this just happened this morning. I want to go to the book of Romans and chapter 13 and read verse 8 through 10. And this kind of tells what is expected of us fathers as we talk about teaching our children and training them up in the way they should go. That they have to see that living in us. It cannot work unless it is in us. I mean, dad is who they look to. And from the time, I remember my daughter, I brought her home. She was premature and she was very, very ill. She and my wife were both ill and spent some time in the hospital and I brought her home. And this tiny little thing that I held just like this, I held that little thing in my hands like that, and what a miracle from God. And that very day, well, we came home a Saturday evening, and that Sunday morning was church, and we took that little thing to church with us. And I remember praying, and when you bring this little child home, fathers, you know, we want to do everything in our power to protect this child. All the days of their lives, right? Keep them safe from harm. Keep them safe from evil. Keep them safe. We're going to protect this little thing. And as they grow and grow, we still want to protect them. And we still... My daughter brings a boy over, you know, and as they grow, you're still protecting them. And you know, she brings... A guy comes home with her and... Really nice guy, but you know, first thing is they come in and they see all my weight training equipment and they go, yeah, dad's still tough, you know, don't mess with her. And if that doesn't work, then they go in and they see all my firearms and I'm very, very proficient with all kinds of weapons. You know, so you do all these things and you think about all this that no matter what happens, you can protect this child. But then reality kind of sets in as things happen. When this little child that I brought home, and she was born a couple weeks before Christmas, so she's just an infant, so the first Christmas was, you know, I mean, she's newborn, wasn't anything. So the next year, I'm really looking forward to celebrating, when we celebrate the Lord's birth. And here she is, a year old, and she, you know, it's gonna, a little bit's going to penetrate in there. Just a little bit. And she was so ill Christmas Eve. I will never forget how sick she was. Tremendous fever, just terribly ill with some sort of virus. And she was sick for a week, I believe. And she was so ill that as she lay down, she could only lay down. She couldn't even raise her little head. She couldn't even raise an arm. She was just lethargic and motionless for quite some time. And I remember never feeling so helpless in my life, that I had always relied on myself and I had promised to protect this child. Made myself that promise. I made her that promise. I would always protect her, keep her safe from harm. And all of a sudden, there's nothing I can do. Yeah, there is. You know, I felt pretty helpless, but instantly went to my knees. And just to share this with you, I spent 8 hours on my knees with that child that day. And I prayed and prayed and prayed diligently, the most I have ever prayed in my life. And God had been teaching me through that circumstance that that's where I needed to be. And we went to bed that night. She was still ill. My heart was aching. I was just heartbroken for her. And we got up Christmas morning and she was just fine as could be, all happy and bubbly, and we celebrated the Lord's birth. But God was teaching me also through her at that time. And the same thing now, I find out. Now as they get older and we know that they start driving. They start having boyfriends or girlfriends, and they're off at different functions, and they take off and go here, take off and go there. You can't be there to protect them. Only God can. So what we have taught them is the only thing that protects them. And that is teaching them God's ways, teaching them His will for their life, and knowing that He is the one that they trust in. He is the one who provides. So in Romans chapter 13, this is how we should live, fathers. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm. Love is not puffed up. Love isn't self-centered. Love puts others before yourself. Love is God's commandment to us. And then He has given us, fathers, children to love, but children who can tell whether God's love lives in us or not, because they can see right into us as fathers. So, I'm going to encourage you all, this is where we are at, is to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we allow God to love through us, we will do no harm. We will fulfill every plan that He has for us. And teach that to our children. That is the number one thing to teach them, is above all things to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then give them the understanding of what God's love is. And it is putting others before yourself. Before I close in prayer, I want to, the worship team will be up here as we're closing in prayer, but I would like to extend to anyone an invitation after the service. The prayer team will be up here in the corners. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you do not have His love living within you, then I would extend an invitation for you to come up and meet with Him. They would love to tell you how to do this. It's very simple. He's asking you to come to Him. All you got to do is say, okay, Lord, I do. If you have need for prayer, for anything, please come forward and the prayer team will meet with you. Our loving Father, we thank You for this time together, Lord. Thank You for the children that You have loaned to us. And ask You, Lord, that You would work through us to raise them up for You, to continue on, Lord, as to be part of Your army, reaching out to others in Your name, worshiping You and praising You and living for You all the days of their lives, that they would receive the crown of glory that awaits for them. and desire, Lord, that others would also receive this crown of glory. So dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.